Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
I thank you for hastening your word to perform it tonight, Lord. Daddy, because we want to finish strong and we want to go into this new year with a thrust, a bang, if you will. Many of us have several irons in the fire, things that we want to see take place, things that we want to be launched forward into. And then there are some of us who need to bounce back from being hit or attacked or being blindsided by something. So we're looking for recovery. We're looking for restoration. We're looking for renewal and rejuvenation. And then the other rest of us, Father, we're believing you for new territory so that we can boldly go to a place, a sphere of influence we've never gone to before in this season of our lives. Show us your glory in this. I give you praise and thanksgiving for it all. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. And the people shouted, amen. And the people put their hands together and magnified the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. All right, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, I've been teaching on fruitfulness, and I will continue in that on Sunday. I could have easily entitled this, Who Has Offended You and Blocked Your Fruitfulness, or Blocked You From Being Fruitful? But we're just gonna entitle it this way. When you become offended, it robs you of God's best. I'm gonna need a scribe. Somebody to put this in the chat and put different points that I say in the chat so that everybody can get it. When you become offended, it robs you of God's best. When you become offended. See, and when I say rob you of God's best, sometimes some people settle for something good in their life, but they never get to tap into God's best because they're not willing to pay the price for it. They're not willing to meet the requirements. So also, who has offended you and cause your God's best to be robbed in your life? Who has offended you and blocked God's blessings in your life? So when you become offended, excuse me, it will rob you of God's best. Let's look at this. Go with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Let's dive off into this tonight. Look at verse number 9. Now, I oftentimes have mentioned that in Ephesians chapter 1, I believe started around verse 16 to about verse 21, 23. That's a prayer that you could pray over yourself. And then Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 15 or 16 through 21, is also a prayer. I've prayed those over myself. I have prayed them over you. But then here is another prayer that I used to pray over myself. I don't pray this much. Probably need to get back to it. It's found in Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. The Apostle Paul prayed this over the Christians at Philippi in that church. And you and I, we can pray it over ourselves. Look at this, verse 9. He says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent." that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Let's read this again. Verse 9, he says, and this I pray. So he's letting us know what his prayer was for these Christians at Philippi. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now, when he talks about that their love may abound, he's not talking about them having a warm feeling. When I was a young Christian, I'll never forget this evangelist, international evangelist, who taught me what love was. He says, Mark, always remember this. He said, love is choosing the highest good for a person, even at your own expense. He never mentioned anything about a feeling, and we know that love does have feelings, or it can cause feelings, but love itself is not a feeling. He said, love is choosing the highest good for another individual, even at your own expense. We can see that with God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God provided that for the world, even though the world did not love him, the world wasn't interested in him, and the world was doing everything it could to offend him, but God never became offended. And so he says, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. What knowledge? Revelation knowledge. Spiritual truth revealed to you from the Holy Spirit. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or spiritual discernment. That you may approve things that are excellent. Now you got, because this takes faith. It takes discipline and commitment to approve things that are excellent, specifically when you're dealing with another imperfect person. Because it's really easy to see their flaws, their faults, their failures, their fumbles, and their foul-ups. Watch this. And become offended. Ah! But he says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. It's the will of God for you and I not to become offended. That you be without offense till the day of Christ. And it's going to take verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So let's look at this before I give you my other scripture. The word offense. What does being offended mean? Well, the word offense, or if somebody is offended, it means to cause to feel upset. Uh-oh. You haven't been upset at nobody lately, have you? To be offended is to be upset. Cause to feel upset. It means to be annoyed. When you become offended, it robs you of God's best. To be offended means to cause to feel upset. To cause to be annoyed. Are there certain people who annoy you? That means that these people offend you, and you don't want to become offended. The word offense means to cause to feel upset, to be annoyed, and to be, watch this word, resentful. To be resentful. Watch this now. Watch this. To be annoyed. Where's that note at? Oh, here it is. To be annoyed about something that's either said or done, or to be annoyed by someone what they did or did not do. Offense, to be offended. So the word offense means to cause, to feel upset, to be annoyed, to be resentful. Watch this, watch this. To be displeased. How often do we as Christians live with displeasure in our hearts? God never wanted you to carry displeasure in your heart. Well, Pastor Mark, I can't just like everybody, and I'm not going to like everything that they do. Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. If you stop judging people and stop grading people, then it's possible that you can do what we just read, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Come on, preacher. See, if I never judge a person, then I won't come to a conclusion about that person. Come on, put that in your notes. Put that in your notes. If I never judge a person, then I won't come to a conclusion about that person. Nowhere in the Bible does God say that everybody is going to do what you like. In fact, he didn't put you on earth to be liked by everybody or for you to like what everybody does. You have to understand, y'all ready to go with me? Watch this, watch this. You have to understand, oh Jesus, that offense, or to be offended, is a negative reaction to an unpleasant circumstance, unpleasant condition, unpleasant comment, or a person you're displeased with. Let's do this again. Offense, or to become offended, is a negative reaction to an unpleasant circumstance, to an unpleasant condition, to an unpleasant comment, or to, I could have easily said unpleasant person, or to, I'm saying to a person who has displeased you through what they've done or what they've said. Did my scribe put that in the chat for y'all? Because I want y'all to see that. Offense is a negative reaction, not a natural one. That's what I want you to get. Because many of us live with becoming offended, and we think that, well, that's just my personality. Who told you that lie? Nobody came into this earth offended. You came into this earth. As a baby, you came into this earth needing attention, affection, affirmation, and assistance. Offense came, or becoming offended came, when you learned how to judge, criticize, condemn, and complain. Wow. What you say, Pastor Mark? Yes. That's when offense came, when you learned to judge, condemn, criticize, complain. Oh, yeah. So, offense will block your blessing because it cuts you off from the power of God to help you get out of any unpleasant situation. Y'all heard me say about how doing an offering teaching that where there is no investment, there is no appreciation. And I share with you how I asked God to teach me and show me how to invest myself in Cheryl. That was a real prayer for me. I asked him to reveal to me the heart of my wife. Not just what displeases her, not just her likes and dislikes. I wanted to see Cheryl like God saw her. I wanted to see Cheryl through God's eyes. Listen. And as he was teaching me, you know, one of the things that he revealed to me, he said, if you want to learn how to operate this way, Mark, first and foremost, you're going to have to learn how to not be offended. Come on, come on. Go to Psalms 119. Look at this. Don't lose Philippians 1 now. Don't lose Philippians 1. Go to Psalms 119. Oh, this was worth your coming on tonight. Psalms 119. Now, if this don't jack your faith up, your wood is wet. Look at this. Look at Psalms 119. Because see, even as I'm talking to y'all, some of y'all thinking right now about some people who made you upset. You thinking about somebody, and you got to understand you can't become offended. You have a choice. Excuse me. Psalms 119, you got it? Look at verse 165. Psalms 119, verse 165. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Great peace have they which love thy law, or love God's word, and nothing shall offend them. Glory to God. Did you get that? So that means that when I become offended, it's because I don't love God's word enough to govern how I feel, to govern how I think, to govern how I see that person. I kept bringing up to God, Cheryl's flaws, her faults, her failures, her imperfections. And God says, I thought you said you wanted to see Cheryl like I see her. I don't see her flaws, her faults, her failures, her imperfections. I see her through my love. And that's why I'm always willing to choose the good for her, Mark, and not hold things back from her. I said, oh my God. I said, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Teach me how to choose the highest good for my wife, even at my own expense. Teach me how to choose the highest good for my children, even at my own expense. Teach me how to choose the highest good for my grandchildren, even at my own expense. But the problem is with many Christians is we don't want to go over and beyond the call of duty for someone until they meet our expectations. Or if we do, we're only going to do it for a limited amount of time. We're going to put a time limit on it. We're going to let them know you've run out of grace. But where would you and I be if God told us we've run out of grace? Oh, help me, somebody. Help me, somebody. Watch this. Watch this. Come on, come on. Put this down. Put this down in your notes. You have to get to this place where you don't allow your joy to be taken hostage. You can't allow your joy to be taken hostage through unwarranted expectations you put on others. You can't let your joy be taken hostage through your grading system that you place upon others. I told you this before in my teaching on Be Fruitful, that you got to stop grading yourself and just grow yourself. God didn't ask you to grade yourself. And you ready? And God did not ask you to grade others. Give them room to grow and learn to be patient. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can't let your joy be taken hostage. And so, what Pastor Mark does, Pastor Cheryl do everything you like for her to do? No. No. No, 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 no. Our personalities are different. Our idiosyncrasies are different. Our likes and dislikes are different. But watch this. But my peace and harmony with her is much stronger than the differences between us. You listening to me? Look what it says. Great peace have they which love thy law, love your word. I fell in love with God. I fell in love with the word of God, and it caused me to fall more in love with my wife, fall more in love with my family. So I'm not easily offended. Now, there's another reason, but we're going to get there. We're going to get there. So you have to understand that the adversary uses the fiery darts of offense to aim them at your soul so he can create a wound that he wants you to live with. He wants your relationships wounded. He wants your self-image wounded. He wants your self-confidence wounded. He wants, are you listening? He wants your communication with loved ones wounded. He doesn't want you to give grace to anyone else, and he doesn't want you to receive grace from God. So he always wants you to think that you're not good enough. He always wants you to think that you're not qualified enough. He always wants you to think that you're always going to come short. And so now, since you're going to come short, he wants you to always look at other people as coming short. So he says, become offended. Become offended. Become offended. I remember, you know, here I remember one time I was trying to help out at the house, and I'm going to wash clothes. Cheryl and I, we wash clothes different. She does not like how I wash clothes. She does not like how I dry the clothes. I'm trying to help out. Back in the day, that caused an argument. I'm helping. You not appreciating. You got something to say. And sometimes she's not saying it with her mouth. She's saying it with her body language, saying it with her facial expression. I can sense the atmosphere in the house is not pleasurable because she don't like how I wash clothes. Now I'm upset. Now we arguing. Now the peace and harmony in the house is disrupted 2, 3, 4 days all because of a load of clothes. Y'all don't hear me. Somebody come on and hear me today. A load of clothes done messed us up. Now we can't even eat together because a load of clothes done come between us. Because she became offended because of how I did the clothes. And I became offended because she didn't appreciate me doing the clothes. And watch this. And the devil is in the middle folding his arms and say, I got both these jokers. Yes. Yes. He's happy because wherever there's division, confusion, disagreement, and discord, Satan is right in the middle. Y'all didn't get that. Wherever there's division, confusion, discord, strife, Satan is in the middle. But see, we're blaming the other people because that's the person we see. But the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So Satan aims the fiery darts of offense at you, and he aims it at your soul, glory to God, to create wounds. He wants you to live wounded. He wants a wound to control your life so that now you'll process life through being wounded. But look what you read in Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Satan tries to offend you in order to wound you. Come on, put it down. Put it down in your notes. Satan tries to offend you through a person, place, or a thing through a, through what do we say? What did we say earlier? Through a comment, through a circumstance, through a condition, or through a person. He tries to offend you so he can wound you. It's through the wound he comes at your health. The Bible says this, a wounded spirit who can bear. It's through a wound he tries to take your healing. It's through a wound he tries to take your family. How many families have split because somebody got wounded? Somebody got offended. He tries to offend you so he can take the joy in the family, so he can take the joy in your marriage, so he can take the joy in your life. And now he wants to cause you to sin because you've been wounded. You have to understand that your righteousness is robbed when you become offended. Your right to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy is robbed when you become offended. That's Luke 10, 19 that says that. Your blessings are robbed when you become offended. And you're disqualified from the full manifestation of 3 John 2 when you become offended. What does 3 John 2 says? He says, I pray that you may be prosperous and in health, even as your soul prospers. But a wounded soul is not a prosperous soul. So the thing that we got to understand, this offense business, offense. To be offended means to feel upset. How can I live my life and not be upset at specifically those you live with? In your family, oh man, we easily get upset. How can I get to the place, and trust me, you're looking at one, you can get there to where you can live with somebody and not get upset. And it starts with you accepting who God made you. Number one, I understand that every time I'm thinking that I'm putting up with Cheryl, for example, and I keep using me and Cheryl as an example because it's easier for me to get this message across to you that way. Every time I think about I'm putting up with Cheryl, the thought, see, God help me with this, the thought comes, she's been putting up with you too. Every time I think that there's something I don't like and I don't say anything about it, the thought comes, how often has she seen something she didn't like and she didn't say something? And when that thought comes, you know what I do? I go to her and say, I appreciate you. Thank you for putting up with me. When was the last time you told a loved one, thank you for putting up with me? Oh, no, see, you think you're putting up with them. No, they're putting up with you too. When was the last time you went to a loved one and thanked them for supporting you? Even when they're silent about you. Because there's something that got on their nerve too. There's something you do, your idiosyncrasies, your likes and dislikes that rubs them the wrong way. But because it's you, they've chosen to be silent about it. And you just take it for granted that everything is all right. No, the reason why it's all right is because God has been working on their heart. And God also wants to work on your heart. But you got to allow him. So to be offended means to feel upset, to be annoyed, to be resentful, to be displeased, to be distressed, or even to be hurt. So let's dive off into this. Y'all ready to go? You ready to go with me? My God in heaven, I got some stuff for y'all. But I'm not gonna load y'all up with it tonight. We're just going to look at some things. Just like people become offended with one another, you also can become offended at Jesus. Come on, look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 6. Come on, get there. can't remember when I can't recall the year or the season in my life, but when God dealt with me about holding displeasure in my heart, he said, I didn't call you to do that, son. Why are you living displeased? Well, now I'm thinking that's my opportunity to tell him what I don't like. And he said, why you don't like it? See, he had to get to the root cause of how I was processing life. And so I want you to see something. Look at Mark 6. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5. And I believe that'll be all for I'll get to you tonight. We're going to look back at this. I'll probably take another look at this next Thursday to do part two of it. Is that all right? All right, look at this. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 1. Glory to God. All right. Verse 1 says, and he, Jesus, went out from thence and came into his own country. Where did he come into? His own country. And his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Now, they're not valuing him. They're becoming offended at him. They're upset because he's being used by God like he is. They're upset because of how he's communicating spiritual truths and things that they have never heard before. Look at verse 3. Now, watch this. They come at his family. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And the Bible says, and they were offended at him. Now, here's my question to you. What did Jesus really do to them? He didn't touch them. He didn't criticize them. He didn't cuss them out. He didn't condemn them. He didn't complain about them. What did he do? All he did was share the word of God. But it was because how he shared it that they didn't receive it. Now, that lets us know something about becoming offended. I want to let you in on a secret. To become offended reveals how I process life through a flawed understanding and a flawed perception. It's my flawed or erroneous perception of things where I draw a conclusion of, I'm offended, I'm upset, I'm displeased, I'm hurt. All because of several things. One of them could be erroneous expectations or unwarranted expectations. Another thing that can cause this could be refusal to give grace. And so instead, we grade. When you refuse to give a person grace, you automatically start grading them. You pass judgment. You come to a conclusion. You grade. You grade what they do. You grade what they said. You grade it. You become judge, jury, and executioner. But see, grace, the word grace simply means unmerited favor, meaning you give favor and they don't have to work for it. Have you been giving people grace or have you been grading them? Another thing that can cause us to become offended is because of the heaviness and the weight we carry in our heart. And God never called us to become a pack mule. He says, cast all your cares upon me. But instead of casting them on him, we carry them. And when we carry cares, weights and heaviness, we take it out on people who are close to us and we easily become offended. I found myself at that place many years ago and used to get all upset in the house. And it wasn't that I was mad at anybody in the house. I was mad at life. I was upset at things that were happening to us and with us and around us. And I didn't like it. Well, but I took it out on everybody in the house. That was in my dumb days. You know, the dumb days. I had to grow past that. Thank God for growth. But I easily became offended. And when you carry stuff, instead of learning how to cast your care upon the Lord, you'll easily become offended. Remember what we read in Psalms 119, 165? Great peace have they which love that thy law. It's not talking about having a warm feeling about the word. It's talking about choosing to commit to God's word in spite of how I feel, in spite of what I see, in spite of what I hear, in spite of what I experience. I'm going to commit to the word. I'm going the word's way. And I'm not going to go the becoming offended way. You with me? Look at this. Look at this. And they became offended at him. And so Jesus said this in verse 4. He said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Listen, when you become offended, you devalue a person's worth in your heart. When God told me that, I didn't want to do that with my wife because I didn't see her like that, but I was becoming offended, easily offended. Now, you got to understand something. Here, God was teaching me this, and he hadn't brought Cheryl to this place, and I'm saying, why are you going to teach me and not teach Cheryl? You need to go get on your girl. No. God says, I'm teaching you, and I want you to become an example to your family. See, what is love? Choosing the highest good for an individual, even at your own expense. So he told me, you stop looking at Cheryl. You stop judging Cheryl. You stop grading Cheryl. You stop comparing Cheryl. You stop criticizing Cheryl. You stop condemning Cheryl. Watch this. And you stop becoming offended at Cheryl. And then, watch this. And Mark, then you'll see the blessing I have for you because you're with Cheryl. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm gonna give my own self an offering after this tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So many people become offended with God because they don't get a prayer answer, because something didn't happen like they want, because something bad happened. And you have to understand that God doesn't want you to become offended. Come on, go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, quickly. Verse number 7. Matthew 18, verse number 7. And it says this. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake from the King James Bible. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Man, when I saw this, I said, woe. I said, woa. God, I don't want your woe. I don't want that. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Now, other translation says, because you're causing people to sin. Well, when you become offended, you open the door for sin. Watch this. When you become offended, you open the door for sin, Satan, and the snakes he used to attack your life. Did you know that? Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. Now he said offenses are going to come. But woe to that man or woman by whom the offense cometh. Woe to that person who an offense comes through. We live in an imperfect world that's filled with imperfect people. And he says, you have to commit to my word so that you don't become offended. Wow. Some of you I'm talking to you tonight. Some of you have gotten upset this year because of some things that have happened to you. And you've been carrying that feeling of upsettingness in your heart and didn't realize you was carrying an offense. You became offended. Things didn't happen like you wanted. Situation didn't turn out like you thought. Glory to God. And you have to understand that, put this down in your notes. Here's another one. Did I lose my scribe tonight? Do I still have my scribe? Here's another one. Watch this. Many people become stranded in life because of offenses. Many people become stranded, stuck in life because of offenses. Offenses. Wow. And we saw, you want that one more time? Many people become stranded in life, stuck in life because of offenses. And we saw in Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law. It told us a solution for offense. Number one, I got to fall in love with the word. Commit to acting on the word of God regardless of how I feel. Commit to it to another level. Commit to the word of God. Another one, he says, the solution to becoming offended is I have to elevate the value of the people around me. See, I understand, I got a lot of people, you know, whether it's here in the States or in Canada, and say, Pastor Mark, Pastor Mark, Pastor Mark, Pastor Mark. Wait a minute, it don't make a difference how many people say Pastor Mark. I understand, I need Pastor Cheryl. I value her in my life. I value what she brings. See, I've elevated the value. And so since I've elevated her value, I refuse to become offended at her to devalue her. You following me? All right. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. I probably already done slapped some of y'all in the face with this teaching, but that's all right. Stay with me. You know I love you. You know I love you, but I want to help us tonight because we're going to finish strong and we're going to go into this new year with a thrust and a bang, glory to God, that no devil from hell can beat out of us with a baseball bat. Here's what you got to see. And then we'll pick this up next Thursday because I don't want you to become offended. Where I got you at 2 Corinthians 5, right? Before I show you this, look at Mark 11, and then I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5. Come on, flip back at Mark 11. Mark 11. That's why some of y'all, you know, need to use the real Bible so that you can put it in one plot, put it in one a spot and say, okay, this I got 2 Corinthians 5, and then go to the other one, I got Mark 11. But see, when you have it on your device, you got to slide, and oh, man, you can't bring it up real quick. You need to smell the pages of the Bible. Okay, look at this. Mark 11. Now, in verse 22, Jesus says this, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He's talking about the power of faith, okay? Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He's talking about the power of believing prayer. So the power of faith in verse 23, the power of believing prayer in verse 24. Look at verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. King James Bible uses the word ought. Another translation uses the word issue. Listen, if you got an issue with someone, an ought against someone, that means you've become offended. It could have easily put the word offense there, that becoming offended will stop the power of faith. Becoming offended will stop the power of believing prayer. And he says, so when you stand praying, you got to make sure I'm not offended. How often have you prayed and you knew you were offended and you assumed and thought God would still answer your prayer? How often have you tried praying to God and you were offended at another child of God? How often have you prayed to God and you were offended even at God because something didn't happen like you wanted? Huh? Look at verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So, man, I started looking at this thing, and I said, man, this is how I processed it. I said, God, you're telling me that if I hold something against Cheryl in my heart, then that disqualifies me from receiving what you have for me? And even if I hold it in my heart and Cheryl don't know it, and I don't show it? And then this is what came to me. You ready for this? Watch this. Watch this. If you're just putting up with the person, what's the difference between you and a sinner who doesn't know God? Because a sinner who doesn't know God doesn't need the faith of God, the power of God, or the presence of God to put up with somebody in their life. So the child of God is supposed to walk in forgiveness and trust God to protect their harmony, their peace, and their heart. Wow. Okay, go to 2 Corinthians 5. So I said, I got to get out of this place. And I always come clean with God. I said, nope, I'm not just putting up with Cheryl. I said, I'm committed to Cheryl. I love Cheryl. I support her. I value her. I'm using Cheryl as an example just to show you how we're to do with relationships. You following me? When you become offended, you'll be robbed of God's best. All right? 2 Corinthians 5. This is where we're going to end tonight. Verse 19. This is why you have to protect yourself from becoming offended. Now, many of you are hearing this, and I know for some of you is something kind of wow, new, hit you. It's hitting you kind of, you know, like a pie in the face, so to speak. But you got to understand something now. God never tells us to do something he hasn't already given us the power to do. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, from the King James Bible. Wait, let's start at verse 18. Let's start at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5. And all things... Wait. Let's start at verse 17. It's all good. Oh, Jesus. Let's start at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ... Come on, somebody say, that's me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So everyone say, I am a new creature. Look at this. Old things are passed away. That includes the old way of living, the old way of processing life, the old way of relating to people, okay? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Stop. Who hath reconciled us? Let me ask you this question. The us in that verse. Is the us, he's talking about us, you and I, is the us perfect people? No, but it didn't stop God from reconciling them to himself, who hath reconciled us to himself. Now, wait a minute. The us in that verse, in order for them to be reconciled to himself, to God, that means he had to value them. He had to attach worth to them. He had to attach importance to them. Watch this. To always want to be connected to them. So that means that the us in this verse, you and I, God will never, hear my words, look, he will never look at something we do or don't do and become offended at it, because he raised our value and reconciled us to himself. We didn't reconcile ourselves to him. He did it. Are y'all getting this? Let's keep reading. In all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath, now, watch what he's done, given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, let's see what this ministry is. Verse 19, to wit, in the King James, the word wit, W-I-T, is a meaning for an old English word, to know, K-N-O-W, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's how you do it. Look what it says. To know that God was in Christ. Here's my question. God was in Christ. Now, is Christ in you? Yes. Look what it says. He was in Christ. What were you doing, Father God, in Christ? Reconciling the imperfect world unto himself, bringing them into a favorable position, never becoming offended with them. So then I learned, I said, oh my God, you're telling me in order for me to go to another level in you, God, I have to go to another level on how I see my wife who you've given me. And I got to see her in a favorable place, a favorable position all the time, instead of through flaws, faults, failures, fumbles, and foul-ups. Even though she's imperfect, even though she does imperfect things, even though she may get upset at me because of how I do wash the clothes and dry the clothes, I got to look at her through favorable eyes and never offended eyes. Jesus, I give you praise. Y'all getting this? Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, not holding what they do wrong against them. And he called that the ministry of reconciliation that he's giving to you and I. And now you get to exercise that ministry right there in the family God has given you first, then in your world second. Glory to God. Well, I got it wrong. It's in your family first, in your church second, because that's the community of believers, and then in your world third. And it takes discipline and it takes faith. But first you got to catch a revelation. I am going to stop holding things against people. And you have to choose not to become offended. I'm speaking to somebody tonight who always bringing up because somebody said something to you wrong. Could it be that they haven't learned how to communicate correctly yet, and you're holding it against them because they said something to you wrong? Could it be that the adversary is attacking them mentally and emotionally and harassing them and tormenting them. And now they're struggling in life and struggling with their life. And now when they speak to you, the wrong thing come out because they don't even like their own life. I'm talking to someone who easily misinterprets another person's effort, another person's action, and another person's words. Pastor Mike, well, what if they don't go all out and do the right thing? Well, then I got to ask you something. If God came and asked you, do you go all out and do the right thing? What would be your response? So why are you going to hold that type of grading system on somebody else? And you don't want God to hold that grading system on you. I'm going to say this again. When you become offended, you will be robbed of God's best in your life. And God doesn't want you to become offended. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, come on, lift both hands right where you are. Lift both hands right where you are. Father, we pray in Jesus' name right now. First and foremost, we come now and we repent. Come on, say this. Say, Lord, I repent of all the times I've become offended. Say, I ask you to forgive me. Come on, tell them, I ask you to forgive me for all the times I've become offended at my loved ones, at myself, and even at you, God. Forgive me. And by faith, come on, say it, by faith, I believe I receive forgiveness from the sin of offense. And I receive cleansing from all unrighteousness in Jesus' name. Now let me finish praying. So Father, we had to get that straight first. And now I pray for every person connected on this call, those who will hear this teaching later. Father, I'm asking you for grace. We need your help. We need your grace, your anointing to cause us to stop grading other people, measuring other people by our personal value instead of giving people the benefit of the doubt. Help us to remember that everybody who's in our lives, you've brought into our lives. And you don't want us to misuse them, abuse them, undervalue them, and misunderstand the moment you give us with them. Father, I pray that this message will open our eyes to see the danger of becoming offended, and that you will help us, that this teaching will just be the beginning. That's all it is, because this is not the full concept of it, but this will be the beginning of our study, our search to get to the place of not becoming offended. Help us today. I speak your peace in all our homes and our families and our lives in the name of Jesus. And all God's people say amen.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.